He said to meet him at his ship, said Arthur.
What in the name of zarking fardwax is the old fool doing? Exploded Ford.
Meeting us at his ship in 2 minutes, said Arthur with a shrug which indicated total abdication of thought. They started off towards it. Strange sounds reached their ears. They tried not to listen, but could not help noticing that Slarty Barkfast was querulously demanding that he be given the silver urn containing the ashes, as they were, he said, vitally important for the past, present and future safety of the galaxy, and that this was causing wild hilarity. They resolved to ignore it. What happened next, they could not ignore. With a noise that sounded like 100,000 people saying, "Wop!" a steely white spaceship suddenly seemed to create itself out of nothing in the air directly above the cricket pitch and hung there with infinite menace and a slight hum. Then for a while, it did nothing, as if it expected everybody to go about their normal business and not mind it just hanging there. Then it did something quite extraordinary, or rather, it opened up and let something quite extraordinary come out of it. 11 quite extraordinary things. They were robots. White robots. What was most extraordinary about them was that they appeared to have come dressed for the occasion. Not only were they white, but they carried what appeared to be cricket bats. And not only that, but they also carried what appeared to be cricket balls. And not only that, but they wore white ribbing pads around the lower parts of their legs. These last were extraordinary because they appeared to contain jets which allowed these curiously civilized robots to fly down from their hovering spaceship and start to kill people, which is what they did. "Hello," said Arthur. "Something seems to be happening."
"Get to the ship!" shouted Ford. "I don't want to know. Just get to the ship!"
He started to run.
"I don't want to know, I don't want to see, I don't want to hear," he yelled as he ran. "This is not my planet. I didn't choose to be here. I don't want to get involved. Just get me out of here and get me to a party with people I can relate to."
Smoke and flame billowed from the pitch.
"Well, the Supernatural Brigade certainly seems to be out in force here today," burbled a radio happily to itself.
"What I need," shouted Ford, by way of clarifying his previous remarks, "is a strong drink and a peer group."
He continued to run, pausing only for a moment to grab Arthur's arm and drag him along with him. Arthur had adopted his normal crisis role, which was to stand with his mouth hanging open and let it all wash over him. "They're playing cricket," muttered Arthur, stumbling along after Ford. "I swear they are playing cricket. I do not know why they are doing this, but that is what they are doing. They're not just killing people, they're sending them up," he shouted.
"Ford, they're sending us up!"
It would have been hard to disbelieve this without knowing a great deal more galactic history than Arthur had so far managed to pick up in his travels. The ghostly but violent shapes that could be seen moving within the thick pall of smoke seemed to be performing a series of bizarre parodies of batting strokes. The difference being that every ball they struck with their bats exploded wherever it landed. The very first one of these had dispelled Arthur's initial reaction that the whole thing might just be a publicity stunt by Australian margarine manufacturers. And then, as suddenly as it had all started, it was over. The 11 white robots ascended through the seething cloud in a tight formation and with a few last flashes of flame entered the bowels of their hovering white ship, which, with the noise of 100,000 people saying "foop," promptly vanished into the thin air out of which it had whopped. For a moment there was a terrible, stunned silence, and then out of the drifting smoke emerged the pale figure of Slarty Barkfast, looking even more like Moses because in spite of the continued absence of the mountain, he was at least now striding across a fiery and smoking, well-mown lawn. He stared wildly about him until he saw the hurrying figures of Arthur Dent and Ford Prefect forcing their way through the frightened crowd, which was for the moment busy stampeding in the opposite direction. The crowd was clearly thinking to itself about what an unusual day this was turning out to be and not really knowing which way, if any, to turn. Slarty Barkfast was gesticulating urgently at Ford and Arthur and shouting at them as the three of them gradually converged on his ship, still parked behind the sight screens and still apparently unnoticed by the crowd stampeding past it, who presumably had enough of their own problems to cope with at that time.
"They've garble-warble-far! marble!" shouted Slarty Bartfast in his thin, tremulous voice. "What did he say?"
panted Ford as he elbowed his way onwards. Arthur shook his head.
"They've something or other," he said.
"They've table warble farble!"
shouted Slarty Bartfast again. Ford and Arthur shook their heads at each other.
"It sounds urgent," said Arthur.
He stopped and shouted.
"What? They've garble warble fashes!"
cried Slarty Bartfast, still waving at them.
"He says," said Arthur, "that they've taken the ashes. That is what I think he says."
They ran on.
"The," said Ford.
"Ashes," said Arthur tersely. "The burnt remains of a cricket stump. It's a trophy.
That," he was panting, "is apparently what they have come and taken."
He shook his head very slightly as if he was trying to get his brain to settle down lower in his skull.
"Strange thing to want to tell us," snapped Ford. "Strange thing to take."
"Strange ship,"